first the kingdom of God. That's our theme for the Life Center. Praise the Lord. You can give me time now. Our topic today is worry. See, we talked about worry on Thursday. And that, you know, I know it's on podcast already because I had the opportunity to listen to it again. Because like I said, this message is not only for you, the church. It's also for me. Because when I finished preparing, God used me to prepare this sermon. I won't even call it sermon, message. The Holy Spirit now told me that this message is for you and your wife. And it's really important. Worry. Let me say this. Let me give you an example. Because last time I had an example, I'll give you another example. That happened to me. See, we have this rental property that we just closed. This happened last year. And we closed on it. And we're fixing it up. You know, you have, if you've bought a home, you'd know that you have a month before you start paying the mortgage. So I had a month before I started paying the mortgage. So what happened was I had people come to repair, do some repairs. And we had maybe about a week before the mortgage was going to get paid. So I went to see the property. And the guy was still doing it, expecting to see a for rent sign. And I didn't see it. So I called the real estate agent. And I said, "What's up?" And I was really, raising my voice. I was yelling at her, "What's going on? I have a week. What's good?" So I was anxious. I was worried. So after I was done, I entered my car feeling satisfied that at least I got through to this woman. At least she's going to do something. The Holy Spirit talked to me and said, "Why did I talk to her like that? Then I should pick up the phone and call her and apologize. That's not the Christian-like way to do things." And it's so amazing because as soon as he said that, I was thinking about it. He's like, "Apologize. How?" But I just said, "Okay, fine, I'll do it." And I did. And I apologized to her. I said, "I'm so sorry. I was just heated. I was worried." And you know, the amazing thing that happened that day was this happened before noon. About 4 o'clock, 4, 5 o'clock, somebody just strolled down from the street. I saw somebody walking on a house and said, "Can I rent the house?" Just like that. We didn't put an ad. We didn't do anything. God was exemplifying that He is God. Your worry doesn't do much. Praise the Lord. It doesn't do anything. I won't say it doesn't do much. It doesn't do anything for us. Praise the Lord. So our scripture today, which I read and I'll read again, is Matthew 6, 19-33. And I'll read it. It says, "Do not store up treasures on earth where moths eat them and rust destroy them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is healthy, your body is filled with light. But when your eye is unhealthy, your body, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Whether you have enough food or drink, or enough clothing to wear, isn't life more than food or your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't harvest. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worry add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't walk or make clothing. Yet Solomon, in all his glory, was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown in the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So do not worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he'll give you everything you need. Praise the Lord. Just to recap, which I will encourage you to, like I said, I encourage you to listen to the podcast. But just a recap of what we talked about on Thursday. We talked about the causes of worry. One cause is putting your treasure on earth. The other cause is using your natural eyes to look at the situation. And when you use your natural eyes to look at the situation, you see some form of hopelessness, fear, and all kinds of stresses. And stress, there's a lot of diseases that accompany stress. And the third thing is having other gods apart from God himself. So those are the things we talked about. And we went from 19 to 24. But this time around, we're going to talk from 25 to 33. Praise the Lord. There's a lot of revelation that God gave, and I pray that you would just flow. Praise the Lord. So if you look at this verse from 25 to 31, we've read it, and you see that God is saying that, look, the birds, he's having a comparison. There's a comparison right here. He's talking about the lilies, and he's talking about the birds. And he says, look at the lilies. Look at how they've been taken care of. Look at the birds, how they don't plant, but I make them grow. You think about this. God is saying that they don't do these two comparisons. They don't do anything, but I sustain them. You know, when I was preparing this, God now helped me to remember Psalm 23, verse 1. Psalm 23, verse 1 says, the Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. I shall not want. Think about it. If he says, I have everything I need, it means that there's a dependence on who? The shepherd. So the lilies and the birds, they're not depending on themselves. They're depending on the shepherd to do what? To take care of them. And if you know things about the sheep and the shepherd, the sheep has a total, it's like dependence on the shepherd. Praise the Lord. Look at this aspect. Look at Psalm 23, 2 to 6. You have to understand what I'm talking about. He says, he lets me rest in green meadows. He says, he leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along the right path, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk in the valley, darkest valley, I'm not afraid because you are close to me. Your rod, I'm reading Psalm. Okay. your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will live in the house of the Lord forever. You see, I'll summarize this passage in a few sentences. The first thing is that the Lord is our direction. You look at it that you see that God is the one that is directing. He's the one that gives you strength. So that when situations come, you run to the Lord, he gives you strength. So that situation doesn't overwhelm you. Praise the Lord. He says, he will never leave you or forsake you. He says, I'm always with you. He's also, he says, my cup will run over. It means he always in the business of blessing us. And here's the clincher. He says, I will live, correct, in the house of the Lord. It means that I will dwell in his presence. I will abide in him. So you look at it like the expectation is that if I'm living in Pastor Chinedu's house and there's a problem, I have a problem, and I'm Pastor Chinedu's son, the expectation is that I go to daddy and say, daddy, I got a problem. That's the expectation. So God is saying, if you live in my house and you say it, and I will dwell in his house forever. If you live in his house, when you have a problem that is about to result to worry, the expectation is that you go to God and say, God, here's my problem. That's what that small line says. That's the meaning of that small line. That says, I will live in his house forever. So if you say you live in his house forever, then actually do it. Actually live in it. Actually behave that you know who God is. Praise the Lord. You see, you look at verse 27. Verse 27 says, which of you by worrying can add one cubic to his stature? You think about it, there are some people that say, I have skills in worrying. I have a PhD in worrying. Then if I don't worry, then what should I do? You've heard that. I've heard that. I have a relation that's told me that, like, if I don't worry about my children, then what am I going to do? But I tell you something. You can do something by doing what? Not worrying. And go to God. Because God is expecting us to do what? To come to him. You see, the Bible, there's a verse that always sticks to me. It says, I delight in every detail of your life. And you think about detail. If you think about detail, like you go and detail a car. If you've ever seen someone detailing a car, the person is going to every cranny of the car. It's no longer a car wash. This is a detailing. So God details in every detail of your life. The things that you don't know of, God knows about it. So isn't it great wisdom for you to go back to this same God that knows your life and say, God, look at what is going on with me. His name is Jesse Duplantis. I like him. He says something that is kind of stuck to me. He says, when he sees a bill, a television bill, he goes to God and says, God, you got mail. Because he says, I'm not handling it. God, you got it. Because he now recognizes who his God is. He doesn't say, oh my goodness, it's $1 million. No. He said, God, you got mail. Handle it. And that's what we need to do. Praise the Lord. You look at verse 32. It says, these things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. If these thoughts of worry, you know, something happened, you lose, like I said, the person lose, Peter loses his job. You know, yes, you would worry that first day, maybe the second, maybe the week. But it's not going to be a continuous thing whereby you continue worrying about it and it starts to show your face. And that's why the Holy Spirit, I now understand why the Holy Spirit says, on Thursday, well, we should laugh. And some of us were still like trying to, they couldn't get it out. But it's so important. This is so important because we're not unbelievers, we're believers. That's why the Bible says it. It says, do not let those thoughts of worry dominate you because you are not an unbeliever. You are a believer. We need to know that who we are. We need to have that's what we're talking about. We're talking about in Sunday school. You need to have an understanding of who you are. The inheritance that you have, the access that you have. You need to know that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth that is guiding you. You need to also know that, like Matthew 5, 14 to 16 says, you are the light. You have the light. I'm being honest with you, you're the light. People are looking at you to see, what are you going to do in that situation? People are saying, you're a Christian, correct? What do you think we're going to do? So when you have issues, what are you doing? We need to understand we're not ordinary. We're extraordinary. We're royalty. You see, when you understand who you are, you stand tall. I'm telling you, when you understand who you are and the devil comes at you, that's why I was saying laugh. Because when you laugh, you're telling the devil, nah. You can't. Not me. Because you don't know who I am. And that's what we need to do. Because the Bible says, look at what 1 Peter 2:9 says in King James. It says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Can you imagine that? It says, his own special people that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. How can you proclaim a praise if you are looking so morose? So what happens is that instead of the thoughts to dominate your heart like the unbeliever, the question is, who will believe the report of the Lord? What is your thought? What are you fixing your thoughts to? Philippians 4, 8, 9 tells us where to fix your thoughts to. It says, fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent or worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and receive from me everything you've heard from me. And saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. You see, the key here is this. When you get a bad report from the doctor, what do you do? Do you say, oh me, what's going on? You know, God, this is not fair. I come to church all the time. I do this, I do that. Why is this thing happening? Or do you take the bull by the horn? And you remember the word of God that he has healed you. Let me tell you something. What I do, you know, sometimes you hear bad reports, you know, and you look at the situation and say, no. And you stand on the word. Because let me tell you something. Problems will come all the time. But you know the beautiful thing? The Bible says that when you do, he will do. Because as soon as you do the aspect of fixing your eyes on him, looking at him for your help, the Bible says peace will come. That's when peace will come. Peace doesn't come when you're roaming around. The time peace comes is when you hold on to the word of God and about either healing or whatever situation it is. And you meditate on it. I don't want to go ahead of myself, but you meditate on it. As you're meditating on it, what happens? The Bible says, peace will come. Praise the Lord. It is so important. Look at verse 33. Like I said, I'm going down. Verse 33 says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the things shall be added unto you. So you think about it. What does it mean by seek first the kingdom? I put here, seeking is an active thing. It's something that is continuous. When you're seeking after something, you put your heart in it. You put your all in it. You're seeking diligently for it. It's not something you just do one time and leave it alone. It's you're seeking your relationship with Jesus. That's what it means by seeking the kingdom of God. You're seeking a relationship with Jesus. As you're seeking a relationship with Jesus, it's a hard desire. It should be a continuous thing. And that's why they have a life center. You have Bible study. It's something that you continuously do because you're seeking it. And I tell you something, because what typically happens sometimes is that when there's a problem, the first inclination is not to seek him. Your first inclination is not to seek Jesus. Your first inclination is not to seek the Bible. Your first inclination is to worry about it. Your first thought is, what is going on here? How can I resolve this situation? You see, how can I? God doesn't come into the picture because he's, how can I? And you know, I've heard people say, God has given me the intelligence. So it means he's giving me the ability to think. Sorry, you forget that it is God that even gave you the intelligence in the first place. So the thing about it is the Bible is saying, don't seek him last, but seek him first. And what it means by seeking him first, it means that when a situation occurs, you go where? To where the source is, the word. And find out what the word says. So, like last Thursday, we talked about the causes of worry. This time around, we're going to talk about the solution to worry. Because you can't have a cause and you don't know the solution. Praise the Lord. So, it's important. The reason why I cannot understand why the Holy Spirit wanted me to break those things down. So we have an understanding of what the scriptures say, one. Have a revelation of what is going on. So that you know how to channel your thought process. How to channel your life when situation happens. You know, some people don't have one situation. You know, say when there's a problem, sometimes it floods. You know, you might lose your job, you might lose your house, you might lose your car. You know, but God still remains God. He's in charge. Don't forget that. He's in charge. So you look at this situation. I have some questions where I put here. It says, You might ask, how can I effectively roll my cares to the Lord and get a victory over circumstances? Or you might also ask a question like, what do I do when a situation hits, like a bad report or sudden trouble? The simple answer is to know who to run to. To know that you can run to God because He's faithful. You know that you can run to God because He has an open arms. Like we sang, I have a very big God. He has an open arms waiting for you. He's a loving God. He loves you more than you can think about. More than you can even imagine. His love is not dependent on what you do. His love is not dependent on what is going on with you. He just loves you because of Jesus. And you know, you look at this scripture. This scripture really gave me a better understanding. This scripture came when I wasn't feeling so strong. And you know, the first day, you know, I didn't remember the Bible. I didn't remember. The second day, I went to the Bible, and God is so good. He's so loving. He showed me the scripture. Romans 8:35 through 39. It says, can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean He no longer loves us if you have trouble or calamity or persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? As the scriptures say, for your sake, we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. And here's the clincher. He says, no, despite all these things, the thing that stuck to me was, he says, you have overwhelming victory through Christ who loved you. Other versions say you're more than a conqueror. But this thing stood out to me. He says, you have overwhelming victory. God is assuring me and assuring you that even when you pass through situations, even when you pass through troubles, trials, so anything, whatever the devil brings your way, you have overwhelming victory because of Jesus. So I'm so convinced that God really, really, really loves us. No matter what the situation is. For you to actually get those victories, you need to be in the Word. You need to be in the Word. You need to abide, like what I said before. He says, I live in the house of the Lord forever. You need to abide. The victories just doesn't come. You need to abide. And look at what John 15 says. 15:7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. So you abiding in Christ is something that you need to do. You need to dwell in His presence. Let me go too fast. Look at that scripture again. It says, if. It's an if statement. And if you're a programmer or you know anything about if statements, an if statement is, if you do, then you get. If you don't do, then you don't get. So it's something that we need to, is an if statement that you look at it, it says, if you do this, you can ask anything and it shall be done to you, done for you. So the key here is that we need to be in his presence and we need to abide in his word. Praise the Lord. See, the word of God reveals who Christ is. And you know, when Jesus was on earth, it was the word of God that was his direction. Because you know, the Bible says what? He's the word. Jesus is our example. So Jesus was using the word for direction. That's what we need to do. Praise the Lord. I put it, it says, being in the word of God should be something that we always want to do because we need to know who Christ is. We need to know who Jesus is. We need to have this revelation of who he is. And that's why the Bible says we need, look at Colossians 3:16. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. So what am I saying? I'm saying that the Bible is saying here that the word of God should dwell richly in you. How can this word dwell richly in you? That's the question. That's the next question. The way the word of God dwells richly in us is not by reading it. It's not organic chemistry that I didn't like. It's not by reading it. It's by actually doing what? Studying it. And you know, let me tell you something. You know what means by studying? Studying means that you take the Bible or your iPad and have a notebook next to it. I'm telling you, you see, this is the same thing I told us in the business ministry in the men's retreat. I said, you need to do what? As you're studying the word, the Holy Spirit, as you're reading the scripture, the Holy Spirit will tell you information, will give you information about that scripture. You go do what? That's what studying is. And when you write it down, what happens? You see, let me tell you something. You know, one thing that I noticed is that when you first take your Bible and your notebook, the first day the Holy Spirit might not talk to you. Because he wants to see, are you just doing it to fulfill all righteousness? Are you really doing this thing because you don't want Pastor Emmanuel to tell me anything? But when you are diligently seeking, when you say, I want this thing to dwell richly in me, what do? You take your notebook. It will tell you, you write down. You tell you, you write down. It is a beautiful thing. Let me tell you something. The same thing I told them for businesses, just to sidetrack, but the same thing I told them for businesses, if you're a business person, you need to have a book called Holy Spirit Inspiration. Because the Holy Spirit will be telling you ideas, you write it down. And later you go back to him and say, God, what should I do? The thing about it is, he's waiting for you to do it. The Holy Spirit interprets scriptures. And when he interprets scriptures and he gives you information about the scriptures, that's revelation. says, when you get in that John, in John, you don't have to read it, John 8, 31 to 32, says, and you shall know the truth. And the truth will set you free. When we read the Bible, we're reading the Bible, yes, to get understanding of who Christ is. But when the Holy Spirit reveals the information to you, it's more like a light bulb that just comes up. Like, oh, wow, I never saw that before. That's where it comes from. That's when the Bible dwells richly in you. I want to stress, I really want to stress that we need that one-on-one. You know, I think about one-on-one with, like, you know, with my boss. I have one-on-one with him sometimes. And the one-on-one, he goes in-depth into things. That's exactly what God wants. He wants that relationship. And we need to have an understanding also that we need to take the word of God as it is. As it is. Because you think about it, I think about when the Holy Spirit gave me, he says, take the word of God as it is. And then, you know, he now explained to me, like, you think about a property. You know, God, when he's explaining things to you as revelation, he gives you understanding that you understand. So he gave me an understanding that I understand, like real estate. He says, think about it. You buy a house that is as is. It means that you can't add to it. You can't remove from it. You take the house the way it is. And that's what we need to do. We need to take the word the way it is. Don't add to it. Don't remove it. Also, we need to know that there's an authority. The authority behind the word is still Christ. It's still Jesus. It's still him. You know, I put here, it says, the word of God is efficacious, meaning that it has the ability to produce the desired or intended result. That's why the Bible says, the word of God is living and active. When you talk about active, it means that it's still working up. It's still doing something up. It's still doing something. Look at this. This God explained this to me last night. How he more of a correlation between the word of God being active and Isaiah 55, 10 to 12. Isaiah 55, 10 to 12 says, the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without giving water to the earth. This makes plants grow on earth and gives the seeds to the planter and bread to the eater. So my word, which goes from my mouth, will not return to me empty. It will do what I want it to do and will carry out my plan well. Look at the next verse. You will go out with joy and be led out in peace. That's amazing. Let me tell you what this is. Let me tell you what this is. You look at the rain. In my house, we did some construction, and the place was bare, so we got a landscaper. So the landscaper came and planted, cultivated it and planted seed. I said, Chuka, you need to water it. So you water it and you depend on the rain to fall. At first, when the rain was falling, I said to myself, this is not working. I thought to myself, it's not working. Because I still saw some bald spots. So what I did was I went to Home Depot and I got Miracle Grow. Sometimes we go to Home Depot to buy Miracle Grow because we want things to grow quick. And what happened was the rain was falling and it kept on falling. But what God now showed me was one day, At least 2 months went by. And they looked at the grass. It was covered. That is what we do sometimes. The Bible says that it rains. It says the rain comes down, the snow comes down to water the grass. We are looking at to see, is this word of God working? We are looking to see, is it really working? Is it doing what it's supposed to do? How come it's not working? It's been so many months and years. Then we go to Miracle Grow and get to see whether he can. We go and look for somebody that will pray for us. Or somebody that will do something fast. But I'm telling you, my brothers and sisters, that the word of God does what? It does work. It does work. Praise the Lord. So we shouldn't look at the way when things are going on and we hold on to the word and we think it's not working, it's working. There's authority in the word of God because Jesus, he is the word. He's backing it up. Jesus is backing it up. Praise the Lord. You look at, not just for time, you could look at Matthew 8, 5 to 10. It talks about the man, the Roman soldier, that says, just say the word. Just say the word. And it is done. Just say it. And because he knows the authority behind the word, he knows that, he says, Jesus, you don't have to come. You don't have to come. I know you want to come, but you don't have to come. But the Bible says he lives in you now. So you have the power to speak, and it shall happen for you too. Praise the Lord. So we need to stop looking and watching to see if this word would work. We know the scripture. Mark 11:23. You see, there are situations that come that you don't always have to, you can speak to that situation in faith. You can speak to the situation in faith. That's what Mark 11:23 says. For sure, I tell you, a person can say to a mountain, move from here. You can use the word of God and speak to that situation. But the key here is, it has to be in faith. We need, when we're dealing with the spiritual, we need to be in faith. Praise the Lord. You know, sometimes we just mouth off words. We talk words. You know, sometimes even the words that we talk, we ourselves don't mean it. And if we don't mean it, who would mean it? If you that is talking. I put here, it says, if you expect, let me go back. It says, if you don't believe in what you say, then who would expect you to believe? It says, if you expect them to respond to your word, then you must see that you mean what you are saying by expecting it to work. So if you have the word of God, do you expect the word of God to work for you? If you're speaking to the mountain, do you expect that mountain was going to move? Or do you think the mountain is too big for it to move? He says, it is vain words that does not have the force of conviction and seriousness behind it. It's mere a joke and it's powerless. has no effect. We need to speak to those mountains in faith, believing it will work. That's the key. That's the key. The way I labeled it was practical step. So you're faced with a situation. Because we've been talking. So let's go practical. So you have a problem. Or a series of problems. You go look for the scripture that pertains to that. And the Bible says that's logos. So as you put the word of God in view and you're meditating on it, you know, as you're meditating on it and you're stewing it over, and like the example I gave, whereby, you know, I couldn't sleep one time. And, you know, I know what I did wrong, but now I'm telling you what the right thing to do is. You take the word of God and say, you know, he gave it your beloved sweet sleep. So you take it and you stew it over it. And you're meditating on the word. You know, then before you know, the Holy Spirit now, whoa, gives you understanding, gives you revelation. That's Rhema. That's the spoken word. Why am I saying this? Look at Genesis 15, 4 to 5, Abraham. He says, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be yours, your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Then he brought him out and said, look now towards the heavens and count the stars. And count the stars, if you are able to number them. And he said, so your descendants be. So shall be your descendants be. And he believed the Lord, and he counted to him for righteousness. So what happened? Abraham, the revelation was when he now showed him the picture. He showed him the picture. He says, you see the stars? You see those stars? That's your descendants. He says, wow, that's... The light bulb now came up. He says, wow, I believe you. And if you look at Romans, which we talked about, if you look at Romans, he says, he was fully persuaded. Because that's when you're fully persuaded. Because now you have the revelation. You now know that what God has said about your situation. You're convinced. Somebody else, unbelieving believers can come and try to dissuade you. But because you know that you know what God has said, God has spoken in your ear. No shaking. Praise the Lord. So it's important. It's important. It says, when the word of God came to Abraham, that's why I put it here, it says, he had a different understanding and also a revelation of the promise. Abraham believed. He had faith to believe. So that's why it's so important. It's so key that we take the word of God and put it in view. Because when you do, joy and peace follows. You have peace. People are wondering, how come you have peace? You lost your job because you say, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in Christ's glory. People are saying, you're crazy. No, I'm not. Because I know who my Lord is. I'm not Lord. Praise the Lord. So the third thing is knowing the possibility in prayer. Because when situations come, you want to go to your father. and say, Father, look at what the situation is. What should I do? So you go to God in prayer. Mike, I'm not going to preach about prayer, but I'm going to talk about prayer. Prayer is a two-way communication with God. You know, before, earlier, when I was a baby Christian, I thought prayer is only one way. Whereby I just talk and talk and talk. And not even allowing God to even talk. But prayer is a two-way communication. God will talk, you talk, God will talk. It's a conversation. I had a conversation with a brother one time, recently. And we're having this conversation. And I was telling the guy that I will pray, let's pray, you know. But the way I typically do, I don't just pray with somebody. I like to encourage you first. So you know, I encourage you in the word, then, you know, you can now, you know, from the word, you build your faith. Then when we pray, you can now go with the prayer. But the person who said, just pray, let's just go. Because in his mind, he thinks the power is in the prayer. He thinks, come on, if you come on, let's pray. But we forget that prayer has no power. But prayer mixed with faith has power. The key is faith. The power is in response to faith. And he puts here, he says, the prayer has no power if not mixed with faith. Look at James 5, 13 to 18. I'm going to read the whole thing. It's amazing to read the whole thing. He says, are any of you suffering hardship? You should pray. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. Are any of you sick? You should call on the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer, offered in faith will heal the sick. And the Lord will make you well, and if you have committed any sin, you will be forgiven. Confess your sins to one another, pray and, confess your sins to one each other and pray for each other and so that you'll be healed. It says, the earnest prayer of the righteous person has great power and produces results. And he goes again. He says, Elijah, as a human as we are, yet he prayed earnestly that no rain will fall. None fell for 3.5 years. Then he prayed again. The sky sent down rain and the earth began to yield its crops. So you look at it, you look at that situation. He says he prayed. But prior to that, in verse 15, he says, such a prayer offered in faith. So when he prayed, no rain, because he offered it in faith, the heaven says, I got a man, he has some faith here. Let's do it. That's exactly what happened. And say, when he prayed again, what happened? It stopped raining. So basically, he prayed and heavens backed him up. Faith is the catalyst, is the trigger point. So without faith, that prayer is just prayer. So we so much glorify prayer. You know, this is, you know, I was talking here how sometimes we would look at a situation and we say, this one, it's only 5-day fast and 5-day prayer. Because we think it's in the prayer that we'll reach God. We can't be praying all night and be disturbing our wives. Meanwhile, there's no faith in it. Prayer is considerate, you know. You can be praying in the spirit and your wife doesn't know. I put here, it says, prayer to is not the end, is not. It says prayer is a means to an end, not the end. So when we have, you know, that's why people say, oh, let's do a telephone conference call so we can pray. The question is, when you do your telephone conference call, do you have faith to believe? That's the question. So key here is that we need to have faith. Because prayer is not the end result. Prayer is not. It's not the only way that we can receive power from God. If you have faith to touch the hem of the garment, like the woman, the issue of blood, she got healed. You can speak faith to the situation, and it shall work for you. So faith is the main power to release from heaven. So with faith, he says, the just shall live by faith. Praise the Lord. I put here, it says, so this tells me that faith draws God's power through the word, through prayer, through actions based on the word of God. So today we need to mix. When at the end, when we're praying, you need to take the word of God. Be thinking now, what word am I standing on? What word am I standing on? So that we can produce results. Praise the Lord. Let me say this. We know about this scripture. Philippians 4, 6 to 7. This scripture, we talk about it. It says, do not worry about anything. Instead, pray. So let's read. It says, do not worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your heart and mind as you live in Christ Jesus. You think about this thing. You think about this. It tells you. As a believer, he tells you. He says, do not worry. Instead, pray. And what happens? When you do it, what happens? He said, the peace of God will come and guard your heart. In Amplified, says it a little differently. He says, it will garrison your heart. It puts God on your heart so that nothing comes through. And the Bible now gives you what? It says, it will guard you and it will give you peace, his own peace. So the key is that when we do, God does. You don't have peace if you haven't done. The Bible didn't turn it around and say, his peace will guard you and do not worry. No. The Bible says it's progressive. So, it's when you're in peace, that's like a rest. That rest, you're so sure. There's an assurance that God will do it. Worry changes our focus. When you're worried, your focus is me. But when you pray mixed with faith, when you pray mixed with faith, your focus is now on God, who will take care of my problem? Who you're dealing with? You're saying, God, you are the one that will take care of it. Because you know he's Lord. Praise the Lord. Like last time, we talked about Psalm 121, if you remember, on Thursday. I want to read a scripture to you. It's more of assurance that God always has your back. That no matter what is going on in your life, he has your back. So let's look at Isaiah 43, verse 1 to 2 in NLV. He says, "But now the Lord who made you, O Jacob, and he who made you, O Israel, says, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. When you're going through situations, do not be afraid. For I have brought you and made you free. I have called you by your name. I have called you by name. You are mine." God is saying, you are mine. You are mine. He says, when you pass through rivers, they will not flow over you. How? Because he's with you. He says, when you walk through fire, you will not be burnt. Look at, think about the three Hebrew boys. They went in. The Bible recorded that when they came out, they didn't smell of fire. Why? Because God was with them. It means that when you pass through your situation, nobody will say, people will say, wow, you recovered from this? How? It says, the fire will not destroy you. So today I'm encouraging us that go to God instead of worry. Have faith in the Lord. Use your faith to receive your overwhelming victory today, right now, not tomorrow. Because today is the day of salvation. So now I'm going to leave you a choice. After hearing me talk for 1 hour and 3 minutes, your choice is, do you worry when a situation comes? Or do you take it to God in prayer? Or do you go to the Word and say, this word, I believe this word, it's going to work for me. I put here, it says, we have a choice to worry. Also, like the unbelievers. Alternatively, we can change our focus and depend on the Lord totally. The choice is yours. But my prayer is that you choose to depend on the Lord, because he is Lord, unless you have made another Lord for yourself. But if you say he is Lord, then depend on him. Praise the Lord. So let us stand. Oh, before we stand, and you need to have a relationship with Jesus. That was the first thing I said. For you to really get overwhelming victory, you need to do what? You need to have a relationship with Jesus. So I want to ask, if you haven't made Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior.
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://www.orangefoursquare.com www.store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.